there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Oh, hi, listeners, and welcome to The Conversation, a Nordic film podcast, the 37th episode. We're back, and today we're going to get into The Room and The Disaster Artist, a movie that we've been anticipating greatly, like the last year or so. So let's see if it actually lives up to our expectations. Anyway, we've had quite a pre-show discussing a few things, so our beers are getting cold.
Yeah, that's...
They're getting warm, obviously. So I will ask you first to start.
Shall I do the honors?
Presenting your beer? And, yeah, exactly.
Let me just start by saying this. Oh, hi, Rune.
Oh, hi.
Okay.
I thought we have to say something like that.
Okay.
To start this episode off.
I have a surprise for you beer-wise. It's one of these beers Jupp got me for the other day. Mm-hmm. And it's a Danish one.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce this? Faxe?
Faxe.
Faxe. Danish brewery, Faxe.
Sometimes we have an open A, and sometimes we have a very... Well, usually we have a very flat A, but here it's Faxe.
Yeah, it's beautiful either way. it's a can. I don't usually drink beer from a can.
No.
It's a snob thing. I'll just open it right now.
But it's a good sound still.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. And I'm going to pour it now. Oh, it's a Weiss beer. It's a wheat beer.
Of course. That's
what I like.
From Faxe Brewery.
Faxe. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a long-standing Danish brewery.
Mm-hmm. Pretty well liked. It's
It's very rare that I get a beer from Faxe.
But
guess so.
Okay. It's for us riffraffs. You know,
I'll just ship all that stuff up to Iceland. Yeah. And he's drinking. Seems like he...
First impression is it's like a mixture of Weissbier and lager.
Okay.
It's not really that close to the Belgian style. And it's stronger as well. I think it's 5.2 alcoholic. Okay. Volume.
So it's not a pure Weiss beer.
I am left unimpressed.
By the look on your face, you're not really you're not impressed by Faxe.
I suspect I'll open another one later, especially since it's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl this evening. I'm in Iceland, so it starts at midnight.
I have never watched any Super Bowl, and I have no idea why I should.
Yeah, that was just for our audience to get to know us a bit. I'm a guy who watches the Super Bowl because it's the event of the year in sports, and you don't because you couldn't care less.
I couldn't care less,
exactly.
Especially when it's American football. But there are usually huge commercial breaks with very popular brands, and some people look forward to that.
Or
the show in the middle. Who's going to perform?
I have no idea. I don't care. Okay. I'm there for the sport exclusively. and the chance to stay up late, and I'll get the first couple of hours off work tomorrow, and I don't have to get everything ready tomorrow morning. I get to sleep in a bit, so
you get off to watch a football match.
I'll just ask for 2 hours off. that's what I'm gonna do.
Nice.
Or I'll stay two hours longer, who knows.
I can say right now in Denmark we have the Danish Oscar show actually going on.
Danish Oscar show.
The Robert Price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not really following. I probably should. Mm-hmm. But all the Danish movies are getting their prizes.
Versus
next time. Yeah, it's like a red carpet thing.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's on live right now while we're recording. So next time we can actually talk a little bit about the winners and see if there's any Danish movies we really need to focus on.
Yeah,
watching.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed with the name of this thing, though. The Robert, really?
Yeah, Hopeprisen.
Hopeprisen.
Yeah. I mean, is it better having an Oscar?
It is, but the Swedish one I like, Guldbagge.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you have the Edda.
I have the Edda. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we also have the Bodil. We also have a Bodil prize.
Isn't that like a theater?
No, it's also, yeah, it's like a mix. It's like performances.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, I need to
open my beer. Yes, I was promised a surprise there.
Yeah, well, it's a Weissbier in your honor.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm just sticking to these things because of you. This is one called Hoppy Alpen Weisse.
Great. From where? Where's that from?
It is from Carlsberg. Surprise, surprise.
Okay.
They do a lot of these small experiments, Carlsberg.
Cool.
And, this one really tries to imitate a lot of the Danish microbreweries in Copenhagen and
nice.
Area.
Okay.
So this one is the Hoppy Alpen Weisse. Now I'm going to open that one.
That's a nice sound.
Cool. Yeah. And wow, it smells of wheat. No.
How does wheat smell? Coriander and lemon something. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, it smells really fresh, this one. Like lemony, actually. How did you know?
That's the general thing with Belgian style wheat beer.
This is very wheat beer-like, actually.
And that's as much praise as you can get out of Rune for a white beer.
Yes.
It's very white beer-like.
Yeah. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I will continue to enjoy it throughout the show.
Excellent. You might want to try this Faxe if you're a lager guy. It's some people might like this.
But still, if they try to make it Weissbier and it ends up being kind of lager-ish, then maybe it's not the, maybe you should go with pure lager.
Yeah.
Maybe they just make one kind of beer and then they just name it differently depending on, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to finding out if someone is going to better the Hoegaarden experience I have.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I want to say that we're going to Belgium this summer.
Yeah.
Me and the family. And from what I understand, maybe you and Elin and Roskva.
Yeah, so I know I sounded very surprised here. Yeah. Saying, yeah? Really?
What I found out is that Hoegaarden Brewery headquarters are pretty close to where we're going to stay. So.
You had ulterior motives?
No, not really. It's just a very pleasant surprise.
happy coincidence.
We should take a tour and check their marketing office. See them and you know.
We'll go like Wayne and Garth in Wayne's World when they go to Milwaukee and look at the brewery up there.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Anyway, should we get into some of the movies we've been watching since last time?
Sure. I did watch a couple of films last night, one with my son, who enjoyed it really, he enjoyed it immensely, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, we finished it actually, we talked about it last time as well.
Okay, yeah.
And it's...
I saw it pop up on Netflix,
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not on Netflix here yet.
No.
But it's okay, I guess. It's fine entertainment for a 2-year-old.
That's high praise.
He especially likes Groot, the tiny tree man. Yeah.
Of course.
Of course. You
know, and I guess there's a lot of colors and
a
visual spectacle that you can look at.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I will say that Groot, the tiny creature from Love, Volume 2, it might be the cutest thing anyone has ever CGI'd ever. What do you think? No?
Probably. Perhaps.
Something about him.
Now you didn't watch Star Wars. They really try to put in cute, small, cuddly animals.
With big eyes.
With big eyes and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well, yeah, okay. So that was a great review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I don't think I'll put my teeth into that one.
No, I didn't expect you
to. I'll spare myself, yeah.
But before I go to my main event of this talk of ours...
Yes.
Before the main event.
Our conversation.
Well, yes. Done, Strictly Well Done. What have you been watching, John?
I've been watching a few things. I finished Dark right after our last recording session.
Yeah.
And we got a request by someone near and dear to me.
An avid listener.
Who really wants to and wants for us to dive a little bit more into that movie series. So yeah. Maybe we should do some German stuff. German talk.
I'm always up for German stuff, actually.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like a groundbreaking thing in any way. So I didn't write anything down about it. And
no.
Probably not about to watch it again.
No.
I want to do everything for this favorite listener of ours.
Yes.
But
not that.
But I won't do that.
Like. Meatloaf puts it so perfectly. Yeah. All right. But anyway, I've been watching a few things, but actually along the lines of what you were doing with Bessemalele, watching something with him.
Yeah.
I have been reading so much great stuff about Paddington 2.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was weird that everybody seems to really, really love that movie. And I saw it popped up on Letterboxd as the fifth best movie of the year.
Wow.
So I decided to force Reskva to see the first installment of Paddington. The first Paddington movie from 2014, I think.
Okay.
And it's a family movie, sure, but it's surprisingly good. It is... I was entertained.
Okay.
And visually, it really tries to mimic, maybe even, copy Wes Anderson. So there's a lot of Wes Anderson style camera setups, and it's just very pleasant to look at. And this little Paddington bear has been very well rendered. It's obviously CGI, but very well rendered, very fun story. He's a very pleasant bear. He's brought up with really good manners, and he's coming to London to try and find an explorer guy. He loses his family and home and stuff like that in Africa, I think, and then he moves to where he makes his way to London and tries to find the explorer who actually found him down. And this,
you're talking about the first film.
This is the first film. I watched the first film.
Yeah.
It was actually not Africa. Now that I think about it, it was Peru he was from.
Okay.
So he comes to London, tries to find this explorer, runs into a family with two kids who really don't want to take him in, but just takes in this bear who talks and wears a hat. you know.
Yeah.
But you know, he's a really pleasant guy.
He's always with a briefcase, isn't he, as well? Or
no, he's always with a hat and a raincoat.
I see.
He gets his raincoat. This is kind of like an origin story of a superhero, but it's just this very well-mannered bear that you see the origin of. Mm-hmm. And I was never into Paddington, like all the books, and I think there was some cartoon stuff way back.
Yeah.
But this seemed very good. Raskva was also very engaged throughout the movie. She actually watched the whole thing, and she's saying Paddington now. She wants to, like, sometimes when we talk about bears or something, she's like, Paddington, Paddington.
Okay, so we should really see it. I mean, I listen to what you have to say all the time, but when Raskva says it as well,
exactly,
we should really check it out. I hadn't planned on doing that, but if
me
it pops
neither.
Up... So we'll definitely do that, but yeah. I would have to watch the first one if we were ever going to do the second
but
one.
The first one is on Netflix. It's
is
very
it on Netflix
easy.
Netflix Iceland.
Yeah,
there
maybe,
you go.
Maybe, but you know, it's not a movie that I actively looked for. It was only because the other one started to get buzz, and wow, I mean, I really missed out, and. A general notion about the first Paddington is that it was a fine movie. It was very good for a family movie.
Mm-hmm.
This second installment, everybody is saying this is like, usually sequels aren't better, but this one is just on a whole different level.
Are these the same people that liked It?
No, it's not.
Okay,
it's not. You know, it's a family movie.
Yeah.
So
I don't really
it's
mind
the, same
the,
people.
The genre. I believe you can make a really good movie in every genre. Mm. For instance, there are good movies in the rom-com genre that I like.
Yeah.
And I believe you can make a really good movie in every you know.
Of course, you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter really, but yeah, I really want to watch Paddington 2. I got to watch the first Paddington, and I'm a fan. I'm a fan. We're probably going to watch it more with Raskva. I'm sure of it.
Fantastic. I'll check it out. Yeah. I'll check on it if it's
and
it's available here.
Before I give it back to you, mm-hmm. I also just want to advise you that Raskva and I started Ranya the Robber's Daughter, the anime series.
Yeah. What's your first impression there?
You know, I have this thing for anime, like a bad thing for anime.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think it's tied to my childhood, where I saw something really bad or something that just made me nauseous from watching it. And it's something to do with their eyes and the way their mouths are animated open or something. And it just taps into that completely.
Okay.
However, I do think it's actually pretty well made, and I'm trying to get over that initial nausea.
Yeah, so the jury's out on that one.
Yeah, and Raskva likes it. We watched maybe 3 or 4 episodes, and she's really... I'm happy to see this girl running around, and I don't know if she mirrors herself in her a little bit or something, and she's just very excited. I'm a little bit worried about the subject matter, because it is kind of scary. Like, sometimes there's some really scary situations, so I'm just with her watching it and seeing if she actually starts to find it dangerous in any way.
Yeah.
Usually she says... very dangerous, and then she starts going to me and hugging me if there's something that's a bit too scary for her.
Sure.
So,
sure. They're a bit young, of course, but for this,
but it's good.
Yeah, I think it's really good. They take their time. Always a good sign. Very narratively sound, I believe. I really like it. I look for it now. with somebody we miss it on Saturday mornings. Like this weekend, I usually have the Saturday mornings, but this weekend I have the Sunday morning. So I looked for it today, so we didn't miss it.
Okay.
And
so it's live TV. It's on.
Yeah, but you can. It's on demand as well. For free because it's on live TV. But I really like that.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know. I also like so far. I recommend it, and in Denmark, it's on Netflix. So.
You do like it. Oh my God.
But I get a little bit of nausea.
Yeah. that's big for me though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's good.
Let me just get into one other thing here. And this is from last week we started Bergman and I watched three films of his and last night I just couldn't be bothered to watch The Room again because I watched The Disaster Artist the night before.
I did.
Yeah,
did you? I caught up with it, did you? Yes.
I thought, I have the soundboard. I'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And so I thought, I'll get some Salgeti, which translates, I'll get some of the really, really good stuff. And Shep was off to bed, so I decided to watch Persona. By Ingmar Bergman, 1966 film. I hadn't read anything about it, so I just put it on. And I'm going to use a phrase I detest, but I was like blown away. This is fantastic stuff. Just the opening scenes. I sent you a sound file, Rune, you may recall.
Oh my good God, I am watching Persona, 1966 Bergman film. And I just had to send you a sound file immediately. I'm in half hour in, 40 minutes in. And this is just incredible, incredible stuff. You need to watch this. I mean, now. You need to watch this now.
This movie immediately went to my top five all time.
That's amazing.
That's amazing film.
Why is it that amazing? Just
well, maybe for the beginning, it was just so unexpected. What I saw there, I don't want to really spoil it for you.
No.
Well, maybe I have spoiled it for you by like giving it five
by
stars
hyping
and saying,
it, hyping
"Yeah, by hyping, I do that."
Yeah. But then again, you started hyping it when you just started watching the movie.
Yes. Yes.
So I have no idea if it actually holds up throughout the movie.
It's kind of a psychological, it could be said a horror psychological horror film. It can also be said drama. And it's just has so many levels and you can interpret it like every which way you want.
Yeah.
And it has these great performances by B.B. Anderson and Liv Ullmann. Liv Ullmann doesn't speak a word.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Spoiler there. Wow. Erase that.
Yeah, but still. Okay.
But so, I just wanted to get this in that I saw it and I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
It will be added to my watch list. I heard your voice message yesterday.
Yeah,
I was intrigued.
Yeah,
especially that you wanted me to watch it right then and there. It was kind of late though in Denmark.
You said like, nah, no, not now.
Yeah, I mean we had just come back from a theater. Oh yeah, I forgot completely. We went to the theater, like a real theater.
Cool.
Watching the Book of Mormon.
Okay.
You know, the Trey Parker, Matt Stone musical thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It just opened here in Denmark.
How's
now
that?
I kind of hijacked your story.
I got in what I wanted to get in there.
It's on my watch list.
A new film in the top five is always to be talked about and celebrated.
We should have a little fanfare that we put in afterwards.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, Book of Mormon, it was, I don't know how much I want to say about it. I enjoyed myself, but it was very, very Trey Parker, Matt Stoney, you know, a lot of
just like Vice Beery, very Vice Beery, kind of.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same shtick that they always do. Just
yeah,
a lot of yeah, curse words and a lot of inappropriate, you know, politically inappropriate stuff going on, and also just a tad bit juvenile. So, but people seem to have a lot of fun with it in there. But to me, it just, like, the first half was pretty good, and they did some good stuff about putting focus on religion and what the Mormons think of religion, and trying to, well, they basically said it was ridiculous.
Which religion being ridiculous, you don't say.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So
I like South Park, but I can't really watch many episodes in a row. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's funny, but it's yeah, it needs to be taken in these small
amounts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, especially nowadays, I think. I really haven't gotten into the new crop of South Park episodes. I think I stopped around 7th season.
Okay.
Or something like that. Maybe, yeah, maybe 10th. Now I haven't watched. I've watched one here and there, and I just feel like they overdo the whole fart dick jokes.
Okay. You
know? Yeah. And they do that here also. But one of the punchlines was that there was a guy who had mites on his testicles, for instance. And they went so far to have that be the punchline of the complete show. After their whole huge song, then this guy's just singing that, and then the show ends. And it's like, yeah.
It's okay. I think that that's plenty of words for that already.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
I think we should move on to our main feature this evening. We had a very long intro segment.
We have.
Okay, let's move on to the disaster artist.
So there's this guy, Johnny, a true American hero, to be played by me. He has it all. Good luck, many friends, and also maybe Johnny is a vampire. We'll see.
This set of the alleyway looks exactly like the real alleyway.
That's right.
Well, why don't we just shoot in the real alleyway?
Because it's a real Hollywood movie.
No, yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Action!
I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
But it doesn't work if you're looking at the camera.
That was a clip from the new film by James Franco, The Disaster Artist, which is based on the book with the same name by Greg Sestero and Tom Bissell, about the making of the great cult classic from 2003, The Room. Now, this film was getting a lot of buzz. Franco got a Golden Globe the other day, for instance.
Yeah.
But I think before we dive into them, we should really talk a little bit about The Room, which both me and Rune love, but I believe Rune is somewhat of a... how would you word that, Rune?
Before I describe myself as a roomie.
Yeah, roomie. Roomie. You're a roomie.
But yeah, I have been the one who has pushed it to my French circle, at least.
You did introduce it to me, at least.
Yeah, yeah. And I've introduced it to quite a few people over here also. And, like, you know, it's a movie that I really enjoy for its... it's ambition,
awful wonderfulness, you might say.
No, I heard a lot about it before I watched it. I think I watched it first like 7 years after it was released, so around 2009, 10 maybe. So it's been a while, at least I've been watching it, but it was released in 2002.
Okay.
Or 2001.
2003, actually, I think.
Yeah, okay. See, I am the the
roomie. You're not an expert on that, but no, you're an expert on
I'm not an expert.
Many things, the many nuances of the that, room.
Yeah. But yeah, I just watched it after talking to one of my friends about it some many years ago. And I just thought it was like I didn't get it quite in the beginning. I thought it was weird. I thought it was completely disjointed and some very weird characters, but there was really something there. I think I laughed a bit the first time, but the next time you really get into it and you understand what you're what to expect, and then you can get even more into it. And there's such a so much bad stuff going on in that movie that you can enjoy the bad cinematography, you can enjoy the bad acting, the weird choices for why even do certain scenes, and you know,
narrative structure is so
it's out the window, you know, but it's like a tiny, it's like a sketch show. Every single scene is just a new sketch with a new ensemble of actors. Sometimes the actors are even changing, like the characters are changing from one person to another person, and you don't have to care about it really, but you're completely confused. But you know, it happens in this movie.
I'm going to interject something for listeners who have not seen this film. Mm-hmm. Go with someone who has seen it. Because I did that, and Rune showed it to me, and he was pointing stuff out to me that, like, half of it maybe I would have got and understood. For instance, like the spoons.
Like the spoons.
Why are people throwing spoons in the theater? A lot of the stuff is, you kind of have to see it twice or three times to really get into it. But if you go with someone who's seen it, you can kind of instantly appreciate it, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I would advise people to actually watch it before going to one of the screenings, because the screenings, there are screenings often, you know, in major cities, and here in Denmark at least, they can go a little bit off the rails, or like if you don't know the room, then you can't hear any of the lines in the movie. Everybody is yelling it.
That was my soundboard.
That was your soundboard.
Let me play that again.
But you are a psychologist.
That was Tommy.
Yeah.
Talking to Peter.
Yeah. One of the characters who change actor during the movie. Without it being explained to anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about the spoons was just it's just set design. They accidentally went out and got a lot of frames with spoons in them, like pictures of spoons, and then they put them all up, and they're everywhere. So whenever there's a spoon on the set, then you yell spoon,
and then you throw spoons,
into
the room.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but you know, it's. As I said before, one of the reasons I was worried about The Disaster Artist is that there is some genuine stuff in the room, and mainly it's very genuine because it's so much about Tommy Wiseau's life,
which people don't really know that much about, though.
Yeah, which people don't know about. So it's all a guesswork, but you can see that it's a very personal thing for him. Like, even though he's not a very good actor or anything, then whatever he actually puts on the screen, he finds relevant. And diving into that, trying to figure out what it actually means, I mean, it's fairly obvious that it's a love relationship gone bad or something like that. And it's just Like it's just fascinating to get a glimpse into how this very weird, enigmatic person's head works. And we get it in a form of a movie that is hilariously bad. But it has some genuine stuff to it. And that's what I was talking about with bad movies. Like I have never been a guy who really enjoys bad movies like that. But because there needs to be something genuine about it. There's a lot of people who make bad movies just to make bad movies, like Sharknado and the likes. And that's it's just bad for the sake of it. This one was not intended to be bad in any way.
Exactly. It's authentic. It is really trying to be a good, highly dramatic film. Hmm. And you can only achieve this status as it that it has now because of that. You can't if you don't care about what you're doing, you can't achieve what this film has achieved. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
And totally. About Tommy, if I can interject, the book which we've mm-hmm. both read, The Disaster Artist, which is a really good book, I think.
Yes, surprisingly good.
Surprisingly good. It tries to come up with a few ideas why Tommy is like he is and what happened. Mm. But we get the feeling that it's not anything that has been proven to be correct. But I noticed that none of that stuff made it to the film. Yeah. My opinion is that the film, The Room, is when I said the film, I mean The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
But
yeah, okay.
I think The Room is beside it being a horribly bad, wonderful film. I think it's a kind of a social. It's a social phenomenon. Kind of you can kind of study society. You can try to study Tommy, where he comes from. Why did he do this? Mm-hmm. What is this man? My opinion is that he is a man who would be told he had ADD, for instance, right now, if he were in school.
Yeah,
I'm thinking he didn't grow up normally in any normal childhood. That's for sure.
No. Yeah.
So, for me, the character of Tommy, not Johnny, Tommy.
No, Tommy.
That's the really interesting part. I mean, mm-hmm. I love the film, The Room, but more and more as time goes, I kind of want to get to know Tommy and why he is like he is.
Yeah, but that's what I feel like you actually get in The Room a bit by seeing him frame himself as that main guy who has everything under control.
You can draw conclusions from stuff. You can draw a conclusion from why he's showing his ass all the time. For instance, with the long sex scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know,
yeah.
There are also things that you can't draw conclusions from.
True. I mean, why would he, why does he have to show his bottom and what great shape he is in all the time? What's that?
Yeah, vanity.
Of course. Of course it is.
More than that, you know, and also in Greg Sestero's book, he says that he, like Tommy Wiseau, was doing so much, you know, exercise and training in order to get into shape these days, like when they had to shoot those scenes. So,
yeah, living exclusively on Red Bull, I think.
that's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. Private bathroom and Red Bull. That's it.
Yeah. But you know, there's just so many great scenes in The Room. It was a bit weird watching it here by myself. in order to prepare for this show,
it is really a party film. You should watch it with your friends and have a couple of beers.
Yeah, It's more like all the cinematography stuff that I tend to enjoy or not enjoy when I'm watching it alone. I love those sequences where it just takes forever to pan over San Francisco.
Yeah, Golden Gate.
The Golden Gate, and it doesn't really like it doesn't quite make it, which is why everybody is saying go. and then it doesn't quite make it. And all those weird like cutaways when. When he cuts to like stock footage that he's been recording in San Francisco, and there's like half a sign of Disney, like there's a Disney store in the movie, but it's just like you would never put something like that in there. And like one final thing, when he goes berserk at the end, I mean, you cannot not laugh. I mean, it's just hilarious how lethargically he goes berserk. You know, he's just, he doesn't really care, but he has to tear everything apart. And I love the part where he's, you know, like pulling down the paintings off the wall, and one of the paintings lands and is lying actually on the camera frame. You know, it's lying onto the camera. It's just like way to break immersion completely.
Yeah.
And this... I mean, yeah. Do you have a soundboard clip?
Tear me apart, Lisa.
That's the big one. That's the famous one.
That's the famous one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so extremely bad that is good. I've never given it a rating. On Letterboxd, my rating is none, because I have no idea if it's a 5-star or if it's a 0-star. I don't think you can rate it in a conventional
way. I would say -5-star.
Maybe.
There's so many wonderfully bad things to it. Wonderfully bad. Everything is bad. There's nothing good. compared to
there's nothing good,
but by saying that, it's all good. It's difficult to explain. You have to see it.
Go see it and find that one cinema in your area that actually shows it every week. Every month.
Yeah,
there must be one cinema. Isn't there in Iceland?
Yeah, we get it shown regularly here.
Regularly. Yeah. So. There you go.
I actually went to a screening with Greco Sestero.
Yeah.
Did a talk before the film. And he was very amicable. Yeah. Very, very nice guy. I like him.
Yeah.
But should we get to the main feature?
Let's.
Okay. I'm just going to. Okay. I saw your rating. You didn't see mine, did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
So, should we start off by saying our ratings here?
Sure.
Yeah. So, mine was 3.
Yes,
mine was... I was on the fence about it.
I actually saw yours and raised mine by half, and it's now 2.
Okay.
There's stuff I liked about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on the fence whether I should give it 0.5-star more.
Okay.
Actually... Or 0.5-star less. But I think it really depends on who is watching this movie.
Sure.
Yeah. And I know ratings are subjective and everything. But, you know, if it was just for me, I would say it's kind of a bad movie.
I am rating it from my perspective. And it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's also why I gave it a little bit less, but still, I enjoyed my time with it. I enjoyed seeing what I saw, but it never became a great movie. So, yeah, so it's kind of a bad movie, as I say, but I liked Franco's performance as Tommy Wiseau. I... I liked seeing him. And the weird thing is that he did it well enough that I switched out Tommy in some of the parts. I was actively imagining Tommy Wiseau doing some of these things that James Franco was. So in that sense, I think he did it very well, and it was a nice, I don't know what you should say, like an itch to be tickled or something. It was nice to see the whole story play out. And for the uninitiated, that's the thing. Like, this movie was not meant for people like us, I think, who actually knew about The Room and kind of like care about The Room. It was made for people who are not initiated.
That
explains the weird beginning where you have A-list comedians from Hollywood telling their experiences about The Room, you know, or how amazingly bad
and beautiful that movie is.
Yeah, I mean, it really starts off with 1 minute or so with these A-listers talking about it, and your expectations just dropped right away from the beginning, and for the first 20 minutes, I really had to get into the movie again. I was not sure where they actually wanted to go with this movie, and therefore I didn't enjoy the first part of it that much. But then once they got to LA and started living together there, I got enough out of it despite the discrepancies to the book. You know?
Yeah.
Why did you give it almost 1.5 star?
Well, let's try to stay positive as always. But
yeah,
the film set, the stuff taking place on the film set is mostly correct according to the book, and pretty well done and pretty funny. I mean, there are scenes where I like laughed out loud, and The Room. I'm talking about the. where it was playing, people were enjoying it. Most people enjoyed it. There was a lot of laughs and even applause sometimes. So there is that.
Wow.
Yeah, there is that. I think Seth Rogen was funny. Just as much as I kind of went into this disliking James Franco, I've always liked Seth Rogen. Mm-hmm. He's always funny for me, while the other one is not. It's structurally sound. I like the cinematography as well. Yeah. And but getting back to the film set, where it's really, it kind of takes off, because then you start to recognize stuff from The Room. Mm-hmm. But still, they had to put the Hollywood stamp of crap on it. By, for instance, with the scene the scene that was taken 32 takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said 68. And then he did two more. So it's 70 takes. Why do you have to do that? It's 32 takes. Why do you have to make it 70? 32 is bad.
Yeah.
And we got the point. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to Hollywood that? Why do you have to be like that? Who does that? Mm-hmm. It's not. I'm not on board with that. I don't like that.
No,
that's the Hollywood thing all over once more. It's this authentic garbage.
But there's so many things, that are inaccurate.
Many things inaccurate.
Also on the set, like with Seth Rogen's character, that. He was actually not on the set for all of the movie.
Yeah, he got another project and he quit.
Yeah. But for continuity, for actually sticking with the movie, not to make it too complicated, they just decided to go with that crew. Also, like, many of the characters were not the original characters. Like, they were switched out throughout the movie. And one thing that bothered me bothered me. to quote Tommy Wiseau, was that Mark just got the job right away as soon as he read the script, and it made for a much smoother ride than it was intended, or like as it was supposed to be. I think if they went a little bit more into those, you know, weird decisions that Tommy Wiseau made while shooting the movie, it could actually have been even, you know, like much more interesting. But it would be much harder to make a narrative that supported this buddy story.
I have sympathy for the screenwriters because of exactly this. And I kind of made a point of not letting that bother me, that they were like three crews. And they didn't show that. It didn't show the meeting where everything like almost blew up. A lot of stuff like that. And I agree with you, but that's, I just have sympathy for the screenwriters with stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's stuff I don't have sympathy for. Let me just, before I go mad on you, I'll just say it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
For the non-initiated into the room cult fan group. I like the little cameos, the little walk-ons. I mean, Zac Efron is there. Bryan Cranston is with a cameo. Sharon Stone, Melanie Griffith. I love Alison Brie. Of course, I love her.
Of course you do.
I mean, we have Hannibal Buress. These are like A-listers.
Yeah.
Most of them.
But that's the thing about this movie, which makes it such a weird commentary on the system in Hollywood. You know, you have an outsider who would never be able to get into Hollywood. He makes a movie that slowly becomes cult. And then James Franco picks the book rights up. You know, picks up the rights for the book and creates a total Hollywood movie out of Tommy Wiseau.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest thing. You know?
I think it's really
weird. You know, it's really weird seeing all these Hollywood actors doing The Room.
I liked it. It didn't bother me, at least. I know what you mean. I'm not saying
it bothered me. I just think it makes this movie such a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's based on the book. And still, I'm done with the good stuff now. Okay. I mean, pretty funny, Seth Rogen, blah, blah, blah. Okay, good.
Let me do some more good stuff. I thought that they actually fleshed out Tommy Wiseau's character a little bit more than I saw, or thought before. I loved that there was a little bit of a creepy vibe to him sometimes, because he was obviously very much older than Mark or Greg Sestero, you know? There were some scenes that were just like a little bit, okay, there's some subtext here.
And but not nearly, Rune, sorry to jump in, but not nearly as creepy as in the book.
No, probably not.
It was very innocently creepy for me. I know what you mean.
It was innocent. But you got that creepiness vibe. And you got the like sexual subtext also with him and Greg Sestero, or at least from one side. Not sexual in that way, but like affection that was more than just friendship, at least. There were some things, but they jumped over them, but they left them in there.
Really got that from seeing The Room, reading the book, listening to Greg Sestero live. Never got that more than a friendship. He seems to me a reluctant friend of Tommy's. They're friends by convenience because this is a hit now. That's what I get.
Yes, I get that too. And from Greg's point of view, that is totally everything that there is. But possibly not the opposite direction, necessarily. Anyway.
The camera work, Rune, the camera work, it was good.
The camera work?
Yeah.
It was fine.
I liked it. There were some good close-ups. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was professional. Yeah. It was directly opposite of the room.
Yeah, there's also some good close-ups and out-of-focus close-ups in the room, stuff like that.
Yes,
there.
Okay, can I just get my
Say
anger
some
out
bad
now?
Stuff? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
But first of all, I didn't get any. I didn't really, they didn't try to show us why the room is great as well as it's awful. You got the awful, but you didn't get the little nuanced greatness. Like, for instance, you talked about the pan over the Golden Gate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would have been a great scene to show how he wanted that.
Recorded that, yeah.
Yes.
Skipped it completely.
It's they're like and the spoons and stuff and the little stuff that make the room great that they just skipped. They just let's not do this.
Yeah,
and I think that's unfair.
Yeah,
that's my opinion. Next up, Dave Franco. I have nothing against Dave Franco. I think he's okay. I think he's completely wrong for the part.
Yes.
And I'm not saying because he's short, because Greg Sestero is like 6'2" or something like that.
That's also one of...
That's annoying, but not... But that glued on beard of his...
It's horrible.
Oh my God. Come on.
It's horrible. But, you know, that was my fear of this whole thing. You know, that they made it into a joke, much of it. And this is so much an in-joke because nobody wanted that to look right. You know, it was supposed to look bad from the beginning somehow. As well as all the makeup for all the cast of the room. You know, all the impersonations. Like Denny with that weird wig on. I was like, they could have done so much better and made this look right instead of mocking it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm taking half a star away because I feel I feel how angry I am about this.
Yeah.
And I'm serious, Rune. I'm gonna change my rating.
Yeah, all right. It's good. Like with what you're saying here, I'm also contemplating it. I still think it's because we know the room.
Yeah. I'm just starting this tirade here.
All right.
Here.
Yeah. Okay. So fake beard, not as tall as Greg Sestero.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you that Dave Franco should not have been Greg.
Sure.
He shouldn't have. It's just because it's his brother giving him a break. This is like an easy part or something like that. You know?
And it kind of smells of, you know, of course, nepotism. But
yeah,
it is what it is. But yeah. I don't like it.
It is.
You shouldn't have done that. It's just
exactly
one brother getting the other brother a good gig and getting him on the map, really.
Exactly.
Okay, then that's out of the way. Tommy, I told you before that what I find interesting about the room, and as time passes, that I want to get to know Tommy. I want to understand Tommy. This has done nothing here. They don't even try to do any background. It's just superficial stuff. You talked about before about the. A vibe, a creepy vibe, homosexual subtext, maybe, okay. But I feel it's less than in the book. But
yeah,
he's made and you just said that you feared it's going to be a joke. They made him a joke. They made him a caricature. At one point, he's dancing in a bar. Another point, he is on a rooftop saying something to De Franco like, nobody understands me or blah, blah, blah. He would never have said that. Mm-hmm. That did not happen. He would never have said that because he's so secretive. I wrote down when I saw that, you know, show it. Don't make him say it.
Yeah.
Okay. They just mistreat Tommy. They do it. They know he's okay with this because all Tommy wants is fame, recognition. Mm-hmm. He has the money. Yeah. He wants fame and recognition. Okay. And they're giving him that. And Tommy's okay with this. Tommy, I'm sure he's fine with this. Kodak, I'm sure he's fine with this. This is just cash in the bank. Okay. Yeah. That's good for them. But still, it's not right. I don't like it.
You know, I actually disagree with not the dancing scene. I was thinking, would Tommy really do this? And I was trying to picture him, as I said, I was doing sometimes in this movie, doing that thing. And it just seemed very out of character. But that rooftop scene, I was thinking, it was fun seeing him at a more emotionally sound, you know, place. And it made me think, okay, maybe there is something more underneath in Tommy than what he always lets out. Like, he obviously does hide a lot of stuff when when he's showing himself in public. Not showing himself in public, but like making public appearances.
Okay, well done. Okay. Yes.
but it was fun just seeing that. Like, you could see that he was almost tearing up a little bit, and it was a very subtle nuance, and then he just like switched again into regular old Tommy. It might not be a right reaction, but it was enough for me to think, okay, I mean, what's actually going on in him? So it triggered that thing, but I know you're right. The story, or like the movie, doesn't spend a lot of time on trying to figure out what actually goes on in his head.
And the background is non-existent. They don't even try.
Yeah, but then again, yeah. I mean, in the book, of course, there's a lot of backflashes not real backflashes, more like what Tommy actually talked to Greg about and what Greg has like kind of pieced together.
Sure.
From that. And I think this moment on the rooftop is kind of like a condensed moment of that. Like, there was some trust. There's some trust between the two. And maybe, just maybe, he would have said that thing.
Maybe they at some point had a conversation where it was not... superficial. Okay, I concede that. Mm-hmm. But all right, to get this effect, that the effect we're supposed to get is that Tommy is an outsider. Mm-hmm. We know that already. But if you want to get that effect, I would do it as a reaction to, I don't know, screen test or mm-hmm. how people perceive him when he's trying to act. But we get a few of those scenes anyways in the film. So it didn't ring true for me. And I'm sticking with my assessment of him being a caricature. Mm-hmm. And me going into this, disliking what Franco has done before. Now, let's be clear. Yeah. I have not seen Spring Breakers, which you recommend. No. I'll watch that. Maybe I'll get over it. Freaks and Geeks as well. I need to watch that.
Yeah, I've seen none of that.
Yeah, I need to watch that as well. And I was thinking when I was writing this stuff down and how I was feeling about this whole thing. Is it just a personal thing against this guy, James Franco? I don't know him. He may be a great guy. I don't know him.
Yeah.
But the overwhelming feeling I'm getting from the disaster artist is he's just exploiting Tommy. That's the overwhelming feeling I'm getting. And I don't like it. I do not like it.
No.
It's a Franco Jerkoff. His acting is all mimicking. That's not acting. That's mimicking, Rune. He's mimicking him. He's just getting his every little... Yeah. That's not acting.
Yeah, but he's getting all of them, though.
And most of them, yes. He's getting most
mimicking,
of them.
Yeah, I mean, and if he's mimicking it so well that you lose yourself... I mean, this is a guy whose claim to fame is impersonating James Dean, right?
Sure.
So maybe that's just what he does really well. Mimics.
And he did that really well here. He did that really well here.
He does. Like, especially like at the end when they do those side-by-side shots of the room and what they did themselves. I just loved seeing James Franco there. Especially when he stood up and said, "I'm tired, I'm wasted, I love you, darling," and does that weird jerky movement with his upper body. I was just like, yeah, like it was just good. I really enjoyed his performance, but not so much, you know, it was, as I said, because I saw through James Franco and saw Tommy instead in some moments, you know.
I guess it's all subjective. I just I thought it was just all superficial, but very well done superficially. I'll yeah. give him that.
Yes.
Here's something for you.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not.
Now Franco said, "I did not."
Yeah. But that's, yeah, that bugged me also. But yeah. That's because I'm someone who cares about the source material.
Yes.
He did it, yeah. He did it in the way that everybody
does.
Everybody
it, yeah. sure.
who says that line to you
okay.
does
it. It's not a big deal.
That's the fun part.
Yeah.
You know, but it's yeah.
But I'm not done.
It's something that I noticed. It's like, yeah, you could have just stopped it a little bit before. It's all about not going all retard, as you say, with like from Tropic Thunder. Did you ever watch that movie?
I did. I don't remember it at all.
No. Well, but it's all about keeping it restrained and know when enough is enough.
Yeah. the book, this is based on the book. I just don't think they'd explore the relationship between Greg and Tommy at all.
They don't, but that's because they try to make this movie into a buddy movie. So they have a falling out, sure, but Dave seems like he's looking up to Tommy. Okay. Greg Sestero in the movie seems to look up to Tommy Wiseau in the movie all the time. And it like he might be questioning some of the actions of Tommy Wiseau in the movie, but he's still just so like blinded by him somehow. Like, it's as if he's his little brother or something.
Yeah, wow.
it's
almost like he's his
like
little
that.
Brother. Yes.
Yeah.
Weird.
And that shines through. And, yeah. And I think that's so weird. Like, and it's not. It doesn't seem right. But then again, that's my whole point here. This is not a movie made for me. And for what is in the movie, I think they do it really well. All my problems is that they change the book and the source material like that into a nice buddy movie, a bro movie or something. And I think the outcome, like, you can also say like the last scene, you know, the last scene where they actually show the movie and you get all the audience participation right from the premiere where, I mean, any sane person would have just left that theater because it was horrible, you know, which they did, and it wouldn't have been so filled up. But here they just channeled the whole audience participation nature of the room screenings today.
You're not like talking about the premiere scene.
Yeah, the premiere scene.
Are you talking, were you okay with that?
No, I was not okay with it.
That's the last thing on my horrible list of horrible things here.
I was not okay with it. And for a true movie, or like a movie that really tries to keep true to the source material, how things actually went by, came to pass, it was horrible. But what they were trying to show, I think, is what you can expect in a room screening now. So they kind of made this weird premiere slash whatever audience participation is now. And I really didn't like that. I really didn't like it. But for someone who hasn't seen The Room, and you need to get that whole experience, then it might be okay. And then they also tied that little red thread within the story about Tommy always battling this image of being a villain and always wanting to be a hero. And I kind of liked how they used all that laughter and made that into a story about Tommy accepting that even though people are laughing at you, you can still be the hero.
So it's basically symbolic for what happened in the aftermath.
Yeah. And
I think that's a weak justification, if you ask me.
It might be.
I just think the whole ending, I was wincing. It was so horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that.
I could barely watch it. It was rewatched it like a couple of nights ago, and it's just I could barely look. It's so bad. And they go out and they have a talk and see what you did, Tommy. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah. So that's the whole like reason why he accepted it, and then they got that thing in that he actually made a dark comedy instead of a drama movie.
Yeah.
You know, so they tried to explain that off. I was not, like, personally, I was not okay with it. The movie, The Disaster Artist, was not the movie I hoped for. But it was probably the movie I thought I would get. You know?
Yeah.
From James Franco and crew.
Yeah. Sure.
And I think for what they set out to do, they actually did it pretty well. And Tommy likes it. He says it's 99.9% correct.
Tommy likes the spotlight. That's it. That's all he likes.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. I'm not even sure he saw the movie. He doesn't care. He likes the spotlight.
Probably not. He was in the movie.
He was in the movie.
I like that scene.
You mean at the very, very end?
At the very end.
Yeah,
actually watch it?
I was...
All Icelandic people leave this cinema as soon
as the
first credits
come. Yeah, I saw it on the second time I watched it by accident. I was like, I'll take the glass and the, you know.
I hate that for Iceland. It's just like, okay, the credits, okay, let's get out of here.
Yeah, so I caught that there in the end. And it was good to see Tommy. It was good to see him. He had short hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's changing a bit.
Okay, I mean, it's not good to be the negative Nelly all the time. I have to say,
it's good that
the mimicky thing, with Franco is really good, and he is really funny at times. Mm-hmm. Nuts and bolts wise, structurally, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, but it's just nothing.
I just think that these are really big issues. I can't get past this with the exploitation of Tommy. If it's Spike Lee makes joints, he makes it's a Spike Lee joint. Franco makes it's a Franco jerk off.
Well, it might be, but then again, I do think he respects him in some ways. I thought he could have made a movie that was much, much more critical of Tommy. And here it all was kept nice and clean. You know, there's a lot of jerk stuff that Tommy does in the book, and a lot of weird things that would make him seem like a very unlikable guy.
Exactly. And, they made the Hollywood film.
They did. A big Hollywood movie.
But if you were to go into that, all that jerky stuff and the weirdness that we get in the book, my opinion is you could combine that with the scenes from the making of The Room, which I liked because they were funny.
Yeah.
And most of them were like true to fact, I think. Mm-hmm. And also try to get that weird, creepy thing in, and by doing that, exploring the background a little bit, try to get into this man, this strange, great man.
I think it's very hard to do a movie like that because, I mean, Tommy would not condone any of that stuff.
I mean,
that was what I was thinking. If they were to make the movie I wanted to see about this, it would not necessarily, it would really not be a comedy. You know, and it would be very critical of Tommy.
I think he would get a lot of, if you would get something similar to the book. I mean, yes, you could see he's a jerk, but you could also see there's probably a very good reason for that.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to see. Of course, I knew I wouldn't get it, but I expected more respect for Tommy. And why do I always expect something that Hollywood is unable to deliver? Why do I expect stuff from Hollywood?
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I mean,
you shouldn't.
Franco expect something did something like here pretty well for most people, and he made a huge pile of money. Huge pile.
Yeah.
And he got Tommy some recognition, and okay, that's what he wanted. But it's just not good enough. Sorry.
To me, it also, like, in the end, when it all comes down to it, it's introducing a lot of uninitiated people to the work of Tommy Wiseau, The Room. And it will be viewed a lot more now. And I think as a commercial for his film, that's probably all right.
I wrote something down here that when I kind of wrap it up on my part here. A chance missed to explore Tommy, and a chance taken to exploit Tommy.
Yeah.
That's my
opinion. Might be right. It would have been much more interesting if they actually explored him a bit more.
Mm.
What we can hope for is a documentary. You know, there is a lot of behind-the-scenes footage.
There actually was
a documentary up at some point that Tommy doesn't want to show.
Would love to see that footage of the documentary behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff there. Just here at the end, when we're wrapping up, one thing that I dived into a little bit, because everybody wants to get a piece of the James Franco fame, and Robin Paris did this YouTube channel now with The Room actors called Where Are They Now? Or Where Are They? Yeah, Where Are They Now, I think. So it's actually the original cast of The Room that does a lot of sketches that is based off of The Room quotes and how people are perceiving all of these actors now. And, you know, Philip Haldeberg, or
Haldeman. Philip Haldeman, Danny.
He's actually, like, from what I've seen like 4 episodes now, 5. He's actually pretty good. I like his acting. You know.
Okay.
I sent you a link to a hangout they made where they discuss what they felt went on in the room. It's a hangout with Robin Paris, the girl who eats chocolate.
The girl who eats chocolate.
You know. And also Peter, the psychologist, yeah. and Danny.
Some other people, yeah.
And, also Julie Daniels, I think her name is.
Juliet Danielle, Lisa. I think.
Danielle, yeah. So there's a host of actors from the room, and they actually do, like, it's very, like, it's a little bit over the top, but it's kind of funny. I must say, especially when you know the room, and it's fun to see them in these different, like, situations how they deal with the fame.
I saw one with Juliet Danielle, I think her name is Lisa, where she was being interviewed or something, and she was talking about her life, and there was like this boyfriend, and it was just not good. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think that was a little bit further ago.
It might be something different, though.
But it's something along those same lines. It was the part with Philip Haldeman that actually got me, because he started working at Denny's.
No, really? Is he a greeter? Oh, hi, Denny.
Yeah, like a waiter, and then like some people in there were making fun of him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's easy jokes, but it's at least the real cast and a bit more sincere, I guess.
Okay.
So
I love the room. I don't like the disaster artist. That's all I'm going to say on the subject now at this point.
For people who really don't know the room and might not be the right candidates for liking the room, I would recommend the disaster artist to ease them into it. So okay. There you have it. Now, Tinkwe was yawning for
for effect.
Really didn't want that. Yeah, for effect. Anyway, so that wraps up our The Room Disaster Artist episode.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to say something about the next time. We're hoping to do a Finnish film, if we can find it in Denmark.
Yeah,
it's playing here.
Yeah, it was out already in December. So, but we are going into Oscar season, where a lot of there are a lot of good movies coming out or getting some recognition because of it, and usually in Denmark, all the great movies that we don't get in regular release schedules in Denmark from America, they come now. So we're
thinking about Lady Bird, and we're thinking about The Phantom Thread, and
yes,
so there's good stuff ahead.
And the Finnish.
Yeah, thing. The Unknown Soldier, I think it's called.
Yeah. Mm. So really we'll see that. Where the wind takes us.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's something a little bit more related to the Nordic area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you know where to find us online, everywhere basically.
Yeah. Yep. Go to Facebook and search for Nordic Film Podcast. Mm. We'll pop up, actually. Don't even have to use the conversation, but to be sure, do it. theconversationpodcast.net. We always post our latest shows there. And on SoundCloud, you can find us also, The Conversation Podcast, over there. Feel free to send us some feedback. We would really love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Whoever is listening.
We know you're listening. We know you're listening.
We know you're listening. We know there are people listening, but they keep their mouths shut.
They keep to themselves. They don't tell anyone they're listening to us.
Except for some of the, like, ones that are very close to us.
They're mouthy, they really don't keep to themselves.
No.
Anyway, all right. So I think that's it for today.
It is. And thank you for listening. And we see you again in a couple of weeks.
Goodbye.